Okay, we're on the subject of vowels. And you had an assignment to practice Kingdom is Beauty, vowels only, right? And you all did it, of course. Didn't we? So, let's have a warm-up or two here. Stand, please. Rich open harmony. That one, bass, sing off. Tenor. Do your best, gang, to sing in tune. Ah, ah. Then you'll have a chord change alto and tenor. Can't miss them. Ready? Right? Ready? Up a half. You may be seated. Yeah. During what?
All the kids. Yeah.
I don't know if you can see very good over there, or if you can see it all over there. That's the loveliness of this room, the teaching center. That will be is that all of them? Is there any more? Miss English teacher, where are you? She's sick. She's been. All right, short eye. What's the long eye? Yeah, short. Like book and look, took and schnook. Huh? Long A sound. Yes. Entity all of its own. Actually, it's not.
OH.
OH? That. Now, those should be most of the vowel sounds. Long I is ah, ah, e. It's a diphthong, actually. It's not an independent vowel sound all of its own. And as I mentioned last week, you maximize the ah sound and minimize the e sound at the end of it. So it's I. It sounds strange to speak that way, but that's the way it's sung. Okay. So, let's review how these are all sung quickly before we go to King and His Beauty. I'll pick a neutral pitch. Nice and neutral. What's a good neutral pitch that everybody can sing? C is not a neutral pitch that everybody can sing. E's too low. That's a neutral pitch. Everybody can sing. The question is, what is that neutral pitch? G, as in George. And I want to sing aw. It's not that neutral. I want you to sing the tenor G, please. Aw, up there. Yawn.
It's the real thing.
Now, that sensation should be in the back of your throat when you sing ah, right? So you to Eddie Bauer. Get the right shape. If I just sing, sing it. Conglomeration of it. If you go off it, you get the right shape. Try it. Now don't make a big change. Just slip into the it. up, you don't widen out your mouth, you don't lose the arch in the back, maintain it. That's collapsing everything in back, kind of like a black hole. All right. Ah, again, on this G that we all have memorized.
Ah.
You get your ah right.
Start with the correct ah. If you don't start with the correct ah, you're nowhere.
Don't sing ooh. I like Dallas Holmes does. Jesus, I'm an open book. What's a book? Anything like a spook, you know? Well, that is lost, you know. Book.
I don't know. Pet.
Right. Don't make it. We really ought not to throw things at the instructor. It's a bit tacky. Throw things at the instructor. You may throw something at you. Fashion. On guard. Me and Touche Turtle. The way he sings it is an ooh sound, and so it's really hard to sing this. If you think coming out to it out of an O, you won't sing look, you know, or book, or some other collapse, smash. See, the problem with vowels, Coralie, is when you smash them down and make them collapse, or make them too thin and piercing, like an I or an E sound, so thin and piercing that it would, you know, could drive a nail into the side of a barn at 100 feet. You don't want to sound like that. It just fries the tonality. And it really, though it is piercing, it doesn't carry because it's not focused. And a properly focused sound. I suppose you want me to talk about focus, don't you? What is a focused choral vowel sound? Well, I don't know how to describe it. A lot of music educators do, and they don't do much better at it than I do. But all I can do is kind of talk about it, and maybe you'll catch the concept. A focused tone is a tone that literally is focused, like light would be focused, or like a microwave or a high frequency wave of some sort would be focused from just a spread, not like a flashlight beam, focused into a point so that it carries, it has go power. And you can support a big, wide, blatty sound and it won't carry because it's not, the tone isn't focused this way to carry, sir.
What about something that produces the even wave of overtones around the both high and low side or the center?
Well, you're talking more about pitch than tonal focus. Because some tones you may have out of tune overtones in them, but they're still nicely focused. And those out of tune overtones is what really gives it characteristic. A piano is that way. It's a very out of tune instrument. But the result is a very powerful sound because
it can be an imbalance in high and low overtones around the note, but they're still creating a good tone.
Yeah, focus is a function of directing whatever tone is produced. Okay. It's not an actual function of development of the tone via what overtones exist around the fundamental. And so in the case of a piano, the function of focus takes place at the soundboard, not at the strings. Whatever tones the strings produce, they produce. Whatever tone is there is there. How that tone is focused and then projected is a function of the soundboard, which is not the lid, but it's a thin, laminated, spruce board. It's a light-colored board inside the piano underneath the strings, you've seen. And it has a crown to it. And there's thousands and thousands of tons, well, not thousands of tons, there are many tons, there are thousands and thousands of pounds of pressure placed against this soundboard by the pin block, by the strings being pulled tight. And the crown of the soundboard focuses and projects the tone. If you didn't have a soundboard in a piano, it would be kind of clinky, plunky, it wouldn't have any guts. But a piano goes because of the soundboard. And if that cracks or loses crown, then the piano loses projection and dynamic range and color. Yes?
Is that what happens when essentially the chords of the palate?
You're getting ahead of me, Rob. Let me finish my discussion. focus, therefore, is a mechanical function of the voice. It's a mechanical function. You can take whatever tone you produce, whether it's a rather dull, lackluster tone, or if it's a very brilliant and strident tone, and you can focus it. Now you take a brilliant and strident tone and focus it, and it's a deadly weapon. You take an average choral voice, say, and focus it, and it becomes a formidable tool. An unfocused tone has no value chorally because it doesn't carry. It doesn't blend out away from the choir a ways. It just falls off. Or it comes out blatty. That's why oversinging is so detrimental, is because it destroys focus. It totally tears the tone to pieces and destroys focus. You lose, when you begin to oversing, you'll lose structure here, which will result in this flat, blatty, uninteresting, unblendable tone, and you'll end up with all these voice fights, and all you have is a terrible sound. I mean, really, you don't know why it's terrible. Well, you know why, but you can't point to individuals and say, you make the sound terrible. No, it's the combination of everybody over-singing. And that's why we've had problems in the platform of music ministry is over-singing. People begin because it gets loud up there. It gets real loud. It's as loud as a rock concert up there. And with all the overhead monitor and everybody singing and the organ and everything, it just gets loud. It gets too loud, and I wish we could solve the problem somehow, but it's loud. But you get into a loud environment where you can't hear yourself clearly, and you'll start to oversing. And the way you solve the problem is to listen to yourself. If everybody will listen to themselves as clearly as they can and not oversing, then everybody will be able to hear themselves and each other, because the tone will be focused and discernible. But as soon as it gets loud, we don't focus in on our own voices and on our own production. We start to just try to compete, and you can't compete and maintain focus. So it's a mechanical function. It starts, yes, in the palate, hard palate area that Rob mentioned. That's where it begins. When you begin to lift the palate, you open up for more tonal space. But then focus is a function of these muscles right here, all of these facial muscles right here. And that's why I talk about, when developing a vowel sound, don't sing ah with lazy, relaxed lips. But contract the muscles so that they are rigid to a point. Be flexible but rigid. And project your lips and facial muscles into a bit of a trumpet bell. Ah, not ah, ah. Energize, in other words, these muscles here to create a tonal path, an acoustical channel that the tone must pass through. And when I sing with focus, the sensation that I have mechanically is the tone is coming right off of my hard palate and coming off the back of my front upper teeth. It's coming right off of there and is ending up right out here at a point, right out about here. My voice comes out here. It doesn't come out of my mouth. It doesn't come out of my throat. I don't sense my voice in my throat. I sense my voice out here. That the source of my tone is right out there and it's going on from there. And it's kind of like the sensation of being up next to a 32-foot organ pipe, if you've ever had that sensation. There's in St. Mark's Cathedral downtown, there's a Flintrop organ, and they have what is known as a 32-foot open diapason pedal section. And these pipes are about this big around. And from the languid to the top, the tallest one is 32 feet. And there's a big opening in it about this big where the air comes out. Okay, and there's a big rod in front of that opening and it goes up into this arch shape where the air comes out. And then it has a big thing, toe, it's called the toe of the pipe, that comes down and sits on the wind chest. It sits on a big thing about like this. And about 15 inches of per second, of cubic inches of wind per second are moving through the toe of the pipe. Comes through the toe and across the languid and produces tone. Well, when you stand next to one of those, I mean, just walk right up and stand next to it, which I've done, all you hear is a sound like this. That's all you hear, is a sensation of wind. Not a lot of it either, just this sound. If you get out 25, 35, 50, 100 feet from it, it's rattling the building with this phenomenal low tone. But you're next to it, you don't even hear it. And so the sensation then of a focused tone is one that all the tone isn't all bottled up inside. And so you hear the full tone or sense the full tone inside. You sense the tone outside of the tonal source. And that's the sensation I have. Now, some people, they can't relate to that. I relate to that for what it's worth. And like I said, I can talk about the subject. It's a mechanical function. So when you sing, oh, you don't just sing, oh. Though that wasn't too bad, because I don't know how to sing lazily. Though I do it all the time, but I do it unconsciously. You don't just sing, oh, or, oh, but, oh. Now, I set the palate. Set this thing, energy. Now, I didn't go, oh, and tighten everything down so that muscles and especially in this shirt, shirt is too small, and veins and tendons all stick out and everything is tight and your shoulders are tight and your hands are tight. And it's, oh. I mean, that is an inflexible tone, though it's focused. But I simply use this and these muscles up here to create a focus channel for the tone to go through and to sing. Oh, and it's more flexible. Oh, it's not just oh, loud and strident and focused. That's, like I said, a deadly weapon. Or with anything. And so if you have this focus set, keep your jaw down and your palate tipped. When you move into the other vowel sounds, they're going to be rich, they're going to be round, and they're going to remain focused. If you change this radically by relaxing it, moving it to an entirely different shape, dropping the palate, or something like that, you lose all your tonal focus and it just falls off and dies. Just sing sopranos, altos for me. Just...
Up.
Now, can you do it with a piece of music? That's the question. Take out King Henry's Beauty. We'll run through it a couple of times. Vowels. One idea that might fix it. Okay, let's just read through it a couple of times with vowels only to get you used to it again. Vowels only. One, two, three. Take it again. Practice them up one more time so you're clear on them. We'll go from there. Two, three. Repeat myself. From the top, let me hear you a cappella. One, two, three. And then everybody got it but you. That's what we're working on, girl. One, two, three. Ah, wrong shape entirely.
E.
E. Yeah. One, two, three. One we didn't work on. Everybody sing ah on this chord. On the first chord of the piece, sing ah. Sing a proper ah, please. Sing ah about an eighth of a step sharper, please. Hold your music so you can watch. I want us moving exactly at the same instant on the vowels. One, two, three. Get in the habit of breathing there. Daryl.
Second line, first measure, bass section there is a problem on the second line of the chord.
No, it doesn't. That is a typo. The typewriter yumped. It yumped.
It's a Swedish typewriter, it went yump. So I am.
It doesn't move.
Stop again. One, two, three.
Now, go on.
Keep it open. Keep it open.
Right? One, two, three.
Yes, you should never come when a fist is played.
Think it. Memorize it. And huh? You will inevitably be out of tune one way or the other. And your problem is flat.
Sometimes we inadvertently have lazy faces. As soon as we have to look at the page and concentrate on the vowels, our face just gets lazy. Because that's the way we habitually sing. And you've got to break the habit so you always sing right so you can concentrate on the page. But in this case, you've got to concentrate on the page, on your vowel shape, on your tone production, whole thing. All of it. At what? You're in the army now.
All there is to it. One, two, three. Half an hour flat and a half a minute late. One, two, three.
Hydrogen is a very small atom. Molecule? One, two, three. I'm hearing O, and A. Should all be off. You know why I'm hearing O, and ah? Because you're not forming an ah in your mind and singing ah. You're singing what you usually sing. What's the vowel? That's the vowel produced by sleeping persons. Right? Does not fit in a choral setting. Unless, of course, we're singing the Sleeping Beauty Waltz or something.
Woo. We're getting flatter by the minute. Come on, shake yourself. Wake up. You'll always have the right vowel shape after that. You'll never not have the right vowel shape.
You've got to stick a quick E sound to create the my E sound, the I, long I sound. So the way it's done, it's easy for the tenors because you have the moving part. The rest of you, it's not so easy. Just like that. Right at the end, just before the move. Right?
One, my heart.
See where the E sound goes?
My heart.
That's the way it's properly sung. So you've got to get that in there when you're singing vowels. Right? It's a wheedle one. Right at the right spot. That's why it's so important you follow my conductance. or you follow carefully the rhythm of the piano when you're on the platform, because otherwise we get these little E sounds all strung out over a long distance, and we come out with a my heart.
My
assignment, and you will be checked on this, and this will affect your grade. By Friday, I expect everyone to have practiced this carefully in front of a mirror, until your face is a mirror image of approximately what I am doing with my vowel shapes as you see me up here conducting them. Some of you have very poor shapes, some of you have very fine shapes, so all you have to do is take a spot check. But I want you to have these vowel shapes down so you're sticking them all exactly right. Okay, none of them are collapsed, none of them are shaped wrong, nobody has a mouth that's only open big enough for hydrogen in them, nobody has their mouth open wide this way, lazy, but everyone has focus. And because I taught you that when I first taught you vowels last semester, that you shape this way. Energy. Because all articulation, vowel or consonant, but especially consonantal articulation, requires energetic, swift, athletic movements of the tongue with the palate. Period. And if those things aren't energized, you'll have zero proper enunciation. So everybody, to the man, in front of the mirror, learn this until it is down. And every vowel is clear, round, properly shaped. And you're quickly moving from one vowel to the next, clearly, as you move through the, yes. Vowels only. Get this thing down so you can sing the vowels only. All right. It will do us no good to add any consonants if we cannot clearly focus on all vowels. All right. Round and rich. Maintain chloral melody. Do this right on everything you sing, then consonants being energized will result in a properly produced choral sound, from which you can begin to make music, right? But if you don't have this sound, expression is really quite useless. Hello, are you there?
Yeah.
So that assignment is going to be, you'll be checked on that on Friday. I'll remember eventually. So I'll make a little note to myself. So that you know that I know. Okay, now, with that in mind, some of you have a lot of work to do. Some of you have minimal work to do just to get the thing down pat so you have all the vowels clear. If I don't know how much you practiced this between last Friday and Tuesday, but if you did do the assignment that I asked, you would have had it down so you know these vowels very well and you don't really have to be glued to your music. Right? Do that so you don't have to be glued to your music, so you can look up and see me clearly, so we can get this to create choral sound on vowels only. You've got to build the building blocks up from the bottom. You can't build a superstructure on no foundation, or you have nothing. You really have nothing. It just doesn't work. You can't hang it in midair. And there is no replacement in choral music or in singing for this kind of thing. You can't take zeal and try to overcome poor vowel shapes. You can't take anointing and try to overcome poor vowel shapes. You will be a very exciting, zealous, anointed, non-musical group. Therefore, you will be extremely limited in your ability to express that anointing. So therefore, to be able to express the anointing, you've got to have basic building blocks of tone production, vowels, consonants, cleanly established. And you will do it. And you're going to have to do it in a hard press, got to do it, assignment, grades, look out or I'll smash you type situation. And when you're out there teaching, you can't do that. You've got to encourage people in the proper vowel shapes. But you've got to learn how to do it so you're prepared and trained. It's a training center here. And I can do that here because we're a training center. And I can do it with music ministry at large because that's what's expected of them. And when you're out there, and I hope you caught the vision on Sunday morning, that almost all of you in the near future could have a position of being a music team leader someplace. And if those Bible studies fellowships grow into a small church or grow into a pretty good sized fellowship in that area of town, you'll have your own little music ministry group to contend with. So behold, this class becomes extremely important. So you've got to learn this stuff so you can impart it to others. That's why you're under the gun by Friday to know this stuff. Well, the group out there, you might take a month. You get till Friday. Good. Praise the Lord. Okay, you're dismissed, and we'll hear you Friday. I didn't take a glance to know. I think it's something you'll have to take a glance to know. And listen to yourself clearly. I was hearing you real clear. And I'm so shaped. Look a little strike overdone and up instead of.